chapter or part 9 in the book on occult contact is headlined a city at night. Looking at his timepiece, Akork said, "Well, you don't have to sleep so long since it is only 3:10 after dark, leaving some 20 hours and a little more until the day begins to break tomorrow. And we can get up 3:10 before the dawn. Thus, there would be only 18 hours. Thus it is, but double my maximum on Earth." He got up and tapped me on the shoulders with his hand, saying, "We are going to see that you will not notice how tired you are." Taking the cue, I continued, "What time do you customarily lay down to sleep here on a cart?" "Depends. If we go someplace at night or someone comes to visit, we go to bed later. Otherwise, normally at 4:10 of the first hour of night." "Pardon me for again asking questions, sir, but are you saying that it lacks 1/10 to the normal time to go to sleep here?" "More or less. Now, about things such as we are speaking, you may ask questions. However, other matters exist that I would like, at least until tomorrow, that you are not ask me questions, because I may not be able to answer you." I was already standing in front of him. "If you would like to curtail the night a little, let us go out and I will show you the city. But if you prefer to go to sleep now, then I will take you to your room." "Yes, let us see a little more of your beautiful city here." Then Akork gave me a cloak of his thick material. "See this?" "But why? I do not feel cold anymore." He laughed with pleasure. "Well, then I will not insist, but I can guarantee you that outside at this hour it is very cold, more than it is here. Logically, you do not feel the cold here inside, but outside it is another thing." I dressed in the cloak, and then he opened the door onto the platform or balcony where we had left the flying machine. Once outside the door, he closed it, certainly so that the wind would not penetrate the room where his son remained to study some hieroglyphics to me, at last hieroglyphics to me, and the mother to take care of her affairs. Akork went to a corner of the balcony. I thought that he was going to lean over it, but instead he did something. He pressed a button there. Suddenly a kind of fence emerged there in front of us, upon which we could lean. I was about to place my hands there to lean over, to better see the city, but I was unable to do it because the cold was so intense. I tried to withdraw my hands and face as much as possible. These details I narrate here because I noted them again the next day. For upon going out and raising my eyes to the city, I was enchanted, mute and deaf, as the spectacle that I saw in front of me was marvelous and frightening at the same time. What I was seeing left me many times open-mouthed, since now what I saw beat all of the records. The city that I had overflown by day, my majestic and beautiful note seemed by all aflame, and the fire that seemed to be consuming it was of various colors. With great effort I was able to recover my voice. Then I asked, "But what is this? What is happening?" "Such as what?" he responded. "With the houses?" "Nothing," he said, not understanding me. "Nothing? But is that fire there? Probably there was..." "Yes, I understand, but aren't they burning?" "No, no, not that. Only looks like that. It is the same resplendor that you saw today." "Well, there is another thing. One house seems painted with solar rays and shines brightly, but there is no sun." "I can guarantee you that there is nothing abnormal. It is the material with which they are made that emits that splendor, which logically is different by day from the night." "How marvelous! It is incredible." After this he spoke of more things, to which I responded yes or no, since I was hypnotized with what I was seeing. All of the houses, large and small, seemed to be made of incandescent steel, since they glowed like a lamp. Their light, moreover, did not extend beyond 2 or 3 meters. Within that space everything could be seen clearly. The windows, the signs, all ultimately with the light from the walls. As the streets were narrow, the light almost reached from one side to another. To compensate, so there was no darkness in the middle of the streets, they had lamps on appropriate buildings, but one could clearly distinguish the light of the lamps from the light of the walls. The light of the lamps was all alike, whereas the light from the walls varied. I was so enchanted with the view that if the hand of Alcorg did not take me by the arm and almost dragged me inside, I could have remained there contemplating the marvel until the next day without remembering the sleepiness that had dominated me before. During this time, I believe that he spoke many things to me after having explained that the light was simply the illumination of the walls of the buildings, but I was so entranced with the admiration that I did not hear any more. He took me back inside. I poured some of the cold water, wetting my arms, which revived me a little. I sat down on the bed again and commenced to remove the clothing. Finally, all became the truth to me. However, more true was the sleep that was overcoming me. I took a piece of the clothing, made myself examine again the footwear I had on my feet. It was exquisitely good. When I put them on, I did not pay much attention to their design, but now, in my state of loneliness, I took them in my hands. Though they could have brought strong laughs, I'd never seen things like this. I had spent the whole day with them on my feet, yet they were so comfortable that they gave me the impression I had nothing on my feet. Now I saw why they were so comfortable. I don't know if you can comprehend my description of the sandal that I had on my feet. Perhaps if I could make a model, I could explain it personally. It was more or less like this. On the front part, like where ours have the toe, that when squeezes the toes one against the other, this was wide with plenty of room for each toe. In length it seemed like two sizes difference would not be important, because in the middle it had springs within the sole. This part was like a flared piece with a pillar inside that left one feeling nothing, neither the springs nor the pillar. The heel was of material something like leather, according to my view, of some centimeter and a half, because it had some springs in the shape of a V, very resistant, small and fine inside. These together turned the sandal into a marvel to use. After the examination, I placed it on the floor and lay down on the bed. I had hardly laid down when I again saw that turbulence of ideas, but I was so sleepy I did not notice. My thoughts turned to dreams and I finally went to sleep. It was a sleep so profound that I was picked up and carried to another place I would not have known it. I don't know how long I slept, only that that after many hours I awakened. My head was pounding as if I had taken the plague. I moved my arms and legs, feeling pains all over, not caused by the bed, for it was very comfortable, nor was it due to what happened the day before. I looked toward the lights still on. I had passed the night like that. I thought, what barbarity, how much light consumed for nothing. It was that I was so fatigued that when my body felt contact with the bed, I saw nothing else. Perhaps a cork had not noticed that I went to sleep with it left on. I sprang up in the bed trying to discover what time it was. I listened to try to hear any noise, but heard nothing. All was silence. I got up, did a little exercise and tried to find the window. There was no window. I figured it must be a central room, but later I learned from a cork that the majority of their houses had central rooms without the light of day and with air conditioning. My room was like that. I went to the spout, washed myself with that light crystalline water, a little cold. As I was doing this, I thought, shall I put on my own clothes or theirs of hair? Still, I felt that with my clothes I would stand out alone more than with theirs. I finally resolved to dress in the same garments which they had given me the previous day, and I began putting them on without haste, since I now had time to better see its design and material. I held the shirt in one hand and thought, pull it on with all these embroideries and fringes on the arms, and there was space for more, if wanted. Still, Here it was the style, and as the proverb says, earth means that which is in style does not stand out, and I continued dressing. I carefully arranged the shirt and pants, closing more or less a meter and a half of fasteners with it had on all sides. And soon I was the Marquis of Misfortune. I almost forgot the sandals. I bent over and touched one foot, seeing it again. I began to laugh. It was still very comfortable besides, but on the other hand, it looked like the shoe had a clone with that big toe part. I touched the other and rubbed it, thinking, no, how am I going to sleep again? A cork is certainly still sleeping. I sat and thought a little bit, and was still doing this when the door opened. I felt a rise of in spirit when I saw that it was already day, as the lights of the room were out, and saw through the windows in front. They only had windows in front. The light of the sun striking the walls of the buildings beyond. I was glad the horrible night for me was terminated, and I walked around, put out this light, went out of the room, closed the door, crossed the room, and went over to the door that went out onto the landing platform, where the evening before I had the impression of seeing the city in flames. I looked far beyond. There was the city, beautiful and majestic. I started to open the door, when I remembered that it certainly must still be cold outside there. I went back through the room that was still silent. I did not know where I would find Akork and his family, not certain whether they were still sleeping. I found the overcloak, put it on and went to the door. I went outside, leaning on my elbows on the fence that surrounded the platform. I don't know why Akork left it in position there. Thus, half leaning over, I stood contemplating the city. From the side that I was looking at, there was enough to satisfy me. One building was more beautiful than the next. The sun was now on the horizon, promising a day so as beautiful as the one before, without any cloud in the sky. The rays of the sun shining on the walls produced a multicolored brilliance. I said in a low whisper, this must be their sky. No doubt this is the same, and these people are those that lived for centuries on earth. I have been resurrected here. I was beginning to notice the movement of vehicles through the air and people in the streets. I watched them. It seemed like none were in a hurry. Also, people like these, why run? They have all that they could need or imagine for life. I compare them to us here on earth. Yes, we hurry, but only to accumulate riches, preach falsehoods, intrigues and disunity. And yes, we hurry united to freely give the fine and good things that God has given us to serve Him. How many beautiful and useful things exist in this infinite outside that God has created for us. But don't think that God is going to take a ban of avaricious locusts by the hands and lead them to these things and say, There it is, see. No, never will it be like that, for this he will delegate a man of some intelligence and worth, so that we can come to knowledge of these things that pertain only to him. However, for this we need mutual compassion and peace, because without this we shall not progress. All was created by God, all animals, all things, all that is. I was there enjoying my contemplation of the city and making conjectures when I heard a noise behind me. I turned, and it was a cork. Next page on this book is a picture of their house blocks, picture text say facade of the residential building with platforms for four ships. That was done on chapter 9. Next is 10, and I continued directly with that there, as these sound audio files can be a little longer. Chapter 10 or part 10, their government decides. Good day, he said. Did the night go well? Yes, I slept plenty. Only I lay a moment before I was overtaken by sleep. But why? Perhaps the bed was not good, he said, smiling. No, on the contrary, it was marvelous. Then what happened? He well knew that had been happening to me. Well, if you put yourself in my place, if you were on earth, away from your heritage, your family, your whole world, my family is perhaps already divided by my disappearance and search for me in vain. Yes, I understand. Today, God permitting, we will resolve your situation as soon as possible and take you back to earth. I sighed deeply, saying, God willing. Let us go in, for it is almost time for the first meal, because after that you and I will go to the name of the government house, which I do not remember. Later he explained that they called the palace where the son of the sun met with his council. We went in and sat down, because the meal was not ready yet. What time is it? I asked. He looked at his time device and responded, 1/10 of the first hour of the day. I felt funny every time he told me the time. Also, 1 hour here on earth would be 10 hours. 1.5 is midday here. In 3 hours it would be dark as the sun descends below the horizon. In that moment the wife of a cork entered the room, bringing what was part of the meal and placed it on the table. She took a couple of steps in our direction and, smiling as usual, nodded her head toward me. I returned the gesture in the same manner. She, as well as I, knew the lack of need for words, since what she would say I could not understand, and vice versa. I could see that she moved her lips as if she wanted to speak to me, which her husband managed with such facility. She readied the table and withdrew, coming back with the boy. He greeted me in the same manner, and finally we all sat down at the table. From here forward I shall not further mention the small ceremony of prayer when I mentioned meals. Suffice it to say that they never eat a meal without offering a prayer. This meal was a little different from the others. There was a little more, a dark tea, and the bread was sweetened with a little better taste than the earlier meals. Finishing the meal, we hurried to go to meet with the Son of the Sun. For that appointment, my samples of earth clothing were included, so I took off theirs. Next page, and dressed in earth clothes. Akhorg advised this so there would be no doubt among them members of the council and the Son of the Sun concerning my person. There I would be, as I really was, a simple laborer of earth. I wanted to ask for a sample of clothing. With mine on my body I felt more confident. My dress consisted of the following pieces: black shoes, maroon socks, blue cloth trousers, checkered shirt and a maroon jacket, and without cap, since I never use one. Almost immediately we went to the balcony or platform where we found the machine, flying machine. First Akhorg retracted the fence by pressing the button, then went to the machine and opened the door. He motioned me, saying, "Enter." So I entered. He closed and fastened the door and then went around front and entered at the other side. After entering, he closed the canopy, but only the glass part. He put the motors in operation and we departed in an instant, already flying over the city. Is it far to the seat of government, or is that not where we are headed? Yes, exactly there is where we are going. In a few moments we will arrive. How far is it in kilometers of distance? Close, only 60 kilometers. I did not have more time to continue the questions, as he was now calling my attention and pointing out a big round building, saying, "Look, there it is. We fly at slower speed." I always felt that Akhorg lived in the city's center, but was roundly mistaken. From where he lived to here was only one city, with very similar streets and houses, but where we were arriving was certainly going to be the center of the city, because of the great number of edifices existed there. Akhorg made a semicircle and we came to hover above the roof of a building which he said was the seat of the government. We disembarked from the machine in the midst of dozens of other similar. Part of the roof of the building was level, of the size of a football field. There, almost all those buildings and houses, though they had the platforms in front of the apartments, also had that level place on the roof for the exclusive parking of the machines, since they had many, like a hive of bees. A little intrigued by not seeing where we could get down, I asked, "Where are we going to descend?" "There, come with me." He showed me a kind of tunnel that had gone unnoticed by me. He guided us down towards there. A cork pressed a button and a lid of some 2 meters raised up. I went in, followed by him. Then we began to descend. It was like an elevator, and came to stop across from a long, narrow room with much activity. Then a cork said, "Let us sit down until the time arrives for me to present you to the Son of the Sun and counsel together." We sat in some easy chairs. There were many in that room. In all the parts where I had walked since my arrival on cart, I awakened almost no attention of anyone. But there in that room I was overwhelmed by the manner in which they stared at me. Some come up to us and spoke to a cork. He, with an air of disapprobation, it seemed to me, made them withdraw from around us. With the manner in which a cork controlled them, I could see that he was well respected among them. Of how many members is composed this council of which you spoke, sir? Of many. There are more than 500. That I was worried was true, without any doubt, but a cork, I don't know why, but was also. He responded whenever I addressed him a word. However, he was not much inclined to speak. Since we arrived there, he preferred silence. We remained sitting there for several minutes, exposed to inquisitive looks of all who passed. Suddenly a gentleman came up to us, young, coming from a door in front of us. A cork received him gladly, offering compliments and some friendly words. A cork soon turned to me and said, "We can go in. Follow me." I followed alongside of him. We entered the same door the young man had come out of. Passing through it, I could see why the building was round. We went into a very big room, a great saloon. It was rounded on 3 sides, and the other side had a straight wall. The rounded part was full of chairs, each one with a desk on the front. They were placed in a circle conforming to the 3 curved sides. They were in files or lines, one behind the other in steep levels, until the last ones in the rear were some 2 meters above the front rows. There seemed to be more than 500. In the front of the flat wall, facing the circular ones, there was a rectangular table, some 6 meters long and some 9 to 20 shoulder height chairs. Then, as many on one side as the other, there were 2 short rows of chairs at the same level as the front chairs in the circular rows, and 1/2 meter below the level of the rectangular table. The youth conducted us to the 2 short rows of chairs on the left side of the big table and seated us. On our left were the nearest of the circular rows. The council members took their seats to our left. It did not take long. Almost all of the seats were filled. "This meeting has been called only to judge my case?" "Yes, in part." "Why in part?" "Because the council meets all of the days necessary. However, today the first business to be considered is with respect to you." "Full of fear," I asked, "what do they want of me?" "Well, they want to ask you some questions. Some questions? Do you think that, according to my replies, they might keep me here forever? I don't think that will happen, because those who object to the inconvenience of your return are few. Then there are some who do think that way, my God. Yes, there are. And for that is well that you respond to their questions, because then you may convince them that there is no danger in returning you to earth. I was full of fear, pallid and thinking, all these great men, up to them to make me stay here or to order my return to earth. But what if they decided upon that first hypothesis? I would be lost. I was left with the hope that all would be as good-hearted as a cork. Suddenly a door opened on our right and a cottage of 9 persons entered. All stood up, including myself. They went up to the big table and sat down in the chairs of shoulder height. The 5th man of the cottage I judged to be the son of the sun. One seated, the one in the center made a sign with his hand and all sat down. Bothered with by curiosity, I asked, "Is that gentleman in the center the son of the sun?" "Yes, he is. His type is of a man with a good heart, but it is apparent that it is not what they value in the positions which they occupy to oversee the others." "Exactly, and I can tell you more. All of us here try to be knowledgeable about all and with all, and he was selected by thousands to be one of the most knowledgeable, and he occupies the position he feels to be just within his own law that elevated him to this high responsibility. Do you know, sir, if he is for or against my return to earth? I can tell you that if it depended only on him, you will already be on return to your home." With this reply, I lost a little of my anxiety. At this point, the son of the sun rose and with a soft voice addressed those present, "I believe to present me to the council members for judgment of my case." I did not understand anything that he said, but I understood that it was about me, since once in a while he gestured toward me. Then followed the debate among them, and not a debate of shouts, but questions and answers. A cork remained in silence at my side. I did not try to question a cork about what was said. 20 minutes passed. With a sign from the son of the sun, the debate ceased, to be followed by the beginning of another, this time with my participation as well as a cork. There was a silence. The son of the sun addressed himself to a cork. He stood up on foot and listened attentively without saying one word for several long minutes, responding only yes or no, but without opening his mouth, only with his head. Suddenly a cork turned toward me, ordered that I get up. I stood up. Then he proceeded, "Some members of the council and also the son of the sun want to ask you some questions." At that moment it did not pass through my mind that a cork would serve to interpret between me and them. Unnecessarily, I asked, but how can I respond to them if I do not understand anything what they say? Arkolk smiled with a tilt of the mouth and said, how? By my intermediary man. Ah, the same. I did not remember well. You can tell them that I'm ready to answer all that is within my own knowledge. Arkolk told them that what I said, remaining standing at my side. Then among them stood up a chunky one with the face of one who had been dead a year and remained in the cooler until that moment. I did not come to believe that he was a walking dead because of the triumphant smile he had on his face. With a voice of thunder, he asked, do you promise to respond with the whole truth to that which you are asked? Arkolk translated the question, to which I responded, saying, yes, on my word of honor. What is your degree of instruction? This question surprised me completely, because I expected that he was going to ask another, like, are you married, how old are you, etc., but not this one. I tried to respond. Arkolk was looking at me, waiting an answer, rubbing his hands on the other. Finally, I responded as best as I could. I went to school 2 years when I was small, but I learned little. I left school with the same book that I began with the first year. Then we have come down on page 81, and I stop this part here and continues on another audio file, but the chapter continues there.